We are in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 19. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19. It doesn't seem like we have already gone through 18 chapters of Luke, but we have. Some of you may say it seems like we've went through 180 chapters of Luke. But I have not grown weary of this great Gospel. It has been so good, and I trust you have found it to be as well. Remember, Christ is heading to Jerusalem. The remainder of Luke will be dealing with the last week of the life of Christ. But before he gets to Jerusalem, he passes through a town called Jericho. And we have the first 10 verses here that deal with the work of Christ in the conversion of a man called Zacchaeus. Look what it says in verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he, Christ, was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he, Jesus, looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the crowd, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. All God's people said. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to read your word, to hear its words read, to have these words run through our minds, to have these words stir our hearts. We're grateful for your word. It is the revelation of who you are. Without the word, we would not know who you are. So we're thankful and grateful. We pray, God, that you would take this text this morning and you would use it to clarify and to magnify yourself. There are so many today who are standing in pulpits today who will take this, take a passage, take the Word of God and make it about us. Help us to see you. Help us to worship you and magnify you. For we know we are so selfish, so self-centered. We need the Spirit of God to take the truth of God and to magnify you in and through it to us. We ask God that while Ezekiel preached to dead bones and there was some sort of movement, there was no life until the Spirit of God came. And so we ask the Spirit of God to come and to breathe on cold embers, causing them to flame once again, to bring life to deadness, so that God would be glorified, that Christ would be exalted, and that God would be worshipped and served. We ask and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this probably is a pretty familiar verse of Scripture. We all probably know Zacchaeus best from that children's song we probably learned in Vacation Bible School or in Sunday school. You remember how it goes? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed him by, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today." I would say, while there is merit in the song, I think there is more to learn from Zacchaeus and from this text than learning just a little catchy song that we can sing and hum along as we go. To me, there seems to be a theme that is ongoing concerning inability to see. You remember the disciples could not see what Jesus was saying when Jesus shared with them what he would have to face in Jerusalem. You remember he said, the Son of Man is going to be delivered, he's going to be beaten, he's going to be mocked, he's going to be spit upon, he's going to be nailed to a cross, he's going to be crucified and raised again the third day. And it said that they didn't have a clue what he was talking about. They couldn't see what Christ was saying. Then immediately after that, there was a blind man who could not see physically and desperately wanted the Son of David to make him to see. And here we have another man, a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus, who can't see either. He can't see because of his height, or we might say the lack of it, and because of the crowd. The disciples were hindered from seeing because it was hid from them, the Bible says. The blind man was hindered because his eyes were dead. And this man is hindered because of his short stature. Inability to see seems to be, to me, to be the thread that runs through this section of Scripture. And what we need to understand is we can only see if Christ, if God enables us to see. Is important for us to understand. Disciples can't see what Christ is talking about until they are enabled to see. The blind man can't see until Christ enables him to see. And we'll find out that it's not really important that Zacchaeus see Christ. It's more important that Christ see him. Let me give you three things concerning this very familiar text. Number one, let's begin by looking at the description of Zacchaeus. The description of Zacchaeus. There was a man, verse 2, named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So who was this Zacchaeus? What do we know about Zacchaeus? Well, we are given some insight into his identity. His name is Zacchaeus, which means clean and pure. clean, and pure. Apparently, his parents named him that because they had hoped that he would grow up and be that kind of man, a clean man, a pure man. Well, we know that Zacchaeus had not lived up to his parents' hopes. He had not lived up to his name. He was not clean and pure. He was everything but clean and pure. He was a tax collector. Matter of fact, he was the chief. He was the head of the tax collectors for the Roman government, which means that he collected the required taxes for the Roman authorities, and then in collecting the taxes for the Roman authorities, he took extra for himself. And the extra, beyond and above the required taxes, funded his extravagant lifestyle. Or in other words, he became rich off the extra money that he extorted and took from the Jewish people. And because he did that, he was hated. Because he was a crook. He just had the political backing to be a crook. His life was one of sin and defilement. He had ruined his parents' hope for any cleanness and purity that they had expected and sought for him. That's who he is. He's a sinner. He's defiled. He's hated. He's a crook. But notice his interest. He's interested in seeing Jesus. Now, no doubt he has heard talk of Jesus. He has probably heard of his miracles, maybe his teachings. Maybe he has heard of his claim to be Son of God. And Zacchaeus wanted to see. He wanted to lay eyes on who this was that had gathered so much interest and had gathered so much so much of a following. Now, we have to be honest here. We don't know what kind of interest or what level of interest that he has. You remember those who followed Jesus across the Sea of Galilee were interested in Jesus only for the filling of their bellies. So we don't know really if this was just a curious interest that Zacchaeus has, or was it something more deeper, or something more substantial at this point? But what we do know is that he is interested enough not to let obvious hindrances get the better of him. He's small. He's short. The crowd is great. He can't see. And so he devises a way that he'll climb up a sycamore tree and get above the crowd and raise himself, since God didn't raise him in stature, he'll raise himself above the crowd, above his abnormality, to see Christ. It seems, I think, that he is sincerely interested in seeing Jesus and not for what he can receive from him. Now, just as a sidelight, every time I think of Zacchaeus, I think of Danny DeVito. And I don't know why that is true, but I do. So I've let you know that so I can get that thought out of my mind. Now, I think this is exciting. And the reason that I think this is exciting is because natural man does not seek after God. Natural man doesn't have interest in Christ. A sinful man seeking after God, truly seeking after God, is the evidence of a supernatural work of God. And that may very well be what we are seeing here as Zacchaeus climbs the sycamore tree so that he can get a glimpse of this man who they call Jesus. And humanity, by and large, really has no substantial interest in seeing Jesus beyond what maybe Jesus can do for them, and that's what makes this movement of Zacchaeus exciting and hopeful. His overcoming the obstacles that stand between him and Jesus, to me, is an exciting indicator that this may very well be God-given faith that is being exercised in the life of a sinner. I hope it is. We sense that it may be. But just seeing Zacchaeus climb a tree, just seeing Zacchaeus doing this doesn't mean anything. We can't be sure. Now, I say that and I leave room for doubt in that because I don't want to minimize the desire of Zacchaeus to see Jesus or to ignore the efforts that he has made to run ahead of the crowd, climb the tree to see Jesus. I don't want to minimize that at all. I think that in the one that God enlightens or gives faith or gives spiritual breath, I think those who were dead now live and do move toward Jesus. So I think that the interest of Zacchaeus is good and it's exciting, but I do want to remind you it is not the most important part. And I think sometimes in our present-day evangelism, in our present-day ideas of salvation, we put the entire emphasis of salvation on the seeking of the sinner. In fact, entire churches are established around that very idea of being seeker-sensitive. But I would remind you that Zacchaeus up the sycamore tree is still a sinner. Him climbing a sycamore tree didn't change him. He's just as a sinner up that tree as he is on the ground. Say amen. He's just as hated up the tree as he is down the tree. He hasn't changed anything about himself. He's still a sinner. He's still selfish. He's still hated. He's still a tax collector. Climbing the tree to see Jesus has not changed who Zacchaeus is. Does a sinner made alive by the grace of God then seek to find God? Yes. Is his seeking after Christ what saves him? No. And so we see that the story quickly moves from an emphasis on Zacchaeus climbing a tree to see Jesus to an emphasis now that is placed upon the person of Christ. Because if anything's going to happen, it's going to be the work of Christ. Notice the deliverance of Zacchaeus, number two. Y'all tracking with me? And when Jesus came to the place, he, Jesus, looked up and saw him. You see, the emphasis is not on Zacchaeus. The emphasis is on Christ. And said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. How was Zacchaeus delivered? Not by climbing a tree. He was delivered by being seen by Christ. the sight of Jesus. And it is interesting that I don't want you to miss that it is not the sight of Zacchaeus of Jesus that is magnified here, but the sight of Jesus of Zacchaeus. With the crowd that day surrounding Jesus the way that it is described to be surrounding him, it would be quite natural for Jesus to focus on nothing more than eye-level situations. And yet Jesus looks up. Looks up at a specific time, at a specific moment, at a specific place, in a specific tree. And if we're not careful, we would say, boy, Zacchaeus picked the right tree. Boy, he's so smart. He picked the right tree. No. Jesus looked up into the very tree that Zacchaeus had climbed because Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. And Jesus sees him. So, what we have is the least likely to be noticed and the most hindered in being seen is the very one that was seen by Christ. Are you with me? It is not about who sees Jesus, it is about who Jesus sees. And why is that important? Because Jesus says in verse 10 that He, Christ, has come to seek and save that which is lost. That is what Jesus is doing. He's looking for sinners. He's looking for lost. And what Jesus is doing here in traveling through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem is He is keeping a divine appointment on God's redemptive calendar. And faith has been given to Zacchaeus where he can now be seen. And I would just remind you, there is a big difference in you seeing Jesus to whatever degree you see Him intellectually, emotionally. Big difference between whatever you see about Jesus and Jesus seeing you as part of His mission work to seek and save the lost. You see, Zacchaeus thought that he was going to climb a sycamore tree and see Jesus. He thought he was the one that was looking for Jesus, when in reality, behind the scenes, God, in and through Christ, was looking for him. Amen? The sight of Jesus. Jesus sees him. And then the speech of Jesus. It is Jesus who speaks to Zacchaeus. He not only sees Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree, but He spoke to him. And what did He tell him? Come down. What are you doing up there? And the reason that he must come down, according to Christ, is that Jesus must spend the night at Zacchaeus' house. Now, the reason for this divine necessity, this must, is that Jesus has come to seek and save the lost, and Zacchaeus is the lost, and Jesus must go to his house so that he will no longer be lost and be found. This is not potential. This is must. Zacchaeus, what does he do? He immediately obeys. And we see that his obedience is an indication that a transformation is taking place in this sinner's heart. For God makes the rebellious sinner willing in the day of His power. God doesn't drag anyone, but He makes them willing. He makes them obedient. The indication of his transformation is his obedience to the command of Jesus. Come down, let's go to your house, and he immediately obeys. Now notice that Luke tells us that he came down and he received him joyfully. Yes, God is at work in the heart of Zacchaeus. He knows nothing about the order of salvation. He can tell you nothing about the doctrine of salvation. He can tell you nothing about the doctrine of sanctification. But what he does know is that he's heard the voice of God and he joyfully desires to obey. Those sinners whom God has made alive desire to obey him, and they do it joyfully. It is not drudgery. His yoke is light. And whatever he commands, his quickened people joyfully desire to obey it. They don't discuss it. They don't justify not doing it. What God says, they joyfully desire to obey. That's an indication of God's working. What we are told is that the crowd murmured that Jesus was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. What we are not told is what the content of the discussion that Jesus and Zacchaeus have on the way to his house and at his house. I would have liked to know what they talked about. I would have liked to know what Jesus opened up to him. Amen? I'm guessing he did the same thing that he did to the two on the road to Emmaus, that he began in Genesis and went through the Old Testament prophets and showed them all of Scripture that told of him. I don't know what they talked about. I don't know what Jesus shared or how Jesus revealed himself to Zacchaeus. We're not privy to that conversation. We're not privy to the confession that Zacharias makes. We're not privy to his repentance. But what we do know is what shows up in the result. We don't know if Zacchaeus wept. We don't know anything about it, but what we can know is what happens after. What's the result? You remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? You can't tell when it's coming or where from it's coming, but you sure do know where it's been. And if this is true, genuine conversion, if this is true, genuine faith, if this is true, truly, genuinely the work of God, we will see it in the results. If God has been there in a saving way, we'll see it. So that leads us thirdly to the difference in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, because the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Do you see the difference in his taste? His life was lived for money, wasn't it? His life was consumed about money. His life was lived in taking from people. He loved being rich. He loved his job as the tax collector and the chief of tax collectors. He loved what his job provided for him. He did not care what people thought. He did not care if people hated him. He did not care if people were hurt by his selfishness. He was all about himself. Take, take, take. Become richer, richer, richer. His life was lived about him. But coming down the tree and taking Jesus to his house seems to have changed everything. He just doesn't have the same taste that he had before. It seems that the money, the job, just didn't have the same sweet taste that it had before. It just seemed that the money didn't taste as good. His hurting people now had a bitterness to it that was not there before. His wealth just didn't have the same appeal. So he tells Jesus, I'm done with this. I'm done. I'm giving half of my goods to the poor. Those who I've cheated, I will return to them fourfold. Instead of taking, he's giving. Instead of selfishness, he's now selfless. Instead of not worrying about what people thought or hurting people, now he wants to restore and make amends. Things are different now with Zacchaeus. Desires are different. Tastes are different. Actions are different. I do want to tell you this. Contrary to what is preached and taught in our culture today, salvation that does not make a difference is not biblical salvation at all. Salvation that leaves you when you came down the tree just like you were when you went up it is not true salvation. If God living in you doesn't change you, God ain't living in you. Amen? The difference in his taste. The difference in his timing. Notice that Jesus says, this day salvation has come to this house. Do you know that he didn't have to work into it? Do you see that this change is an immediate change? Now, let me stop here for just a minute. I do understand that we are always changing. There is a perpetual changing and being conformed to the image of Christ, right? Sanctification. But the change of salvation has also immediate results. It happened that day. Salvation came that day, and the change in Zacchaeus happened that day. Now, the change in Zacchaeus wasn't final and it wasn't complete, but it certainly got a good start that day. And what is the reason for all this? Jesus says, because this day salvation has come to your house for us so much, he is also a son of Abraham. What does that mean? Well, I think we believe that Zacchaeus was Jewish and was a physical descent from Abraham. But I don't think a physical descent from Abraham is what Jesus is speaking of here. I think it's a spiritual descent from Abraham that is in focus. I think Zacchaeus is one of those stars and one of those grains of sand that God promised Abraham would be a seed. And Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. And Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham, not simply by physical descent, but by faith. In Jesus Christ, Zacchaeus believed, and it was counted unto him as righteousness, and he was never the same. And Jesus says, I've come to seek Abraham's sons. I've come to seek those who by faith will believe in me. I've come to find those sons of Abraham. And on the way to Jerusalem, he'd already found one that was by the road begging, blind, And in Jericho, he found one that had skimmed up a tree. And on the cross, he finds one who dies next to him. Do you understand the last three people that are saved by the in the life of Christ was a blind beggar, a filthy, rotten tax collector, and a thief? And I thank God for that. Because as society looked down on blind beggars and looked down on filthy tax collectors and looked down on convicted thieves, I'm glad God sees us as His children. And I'm glad salvation comes to sinners. I'm glad salvation comes to us who are spiritually blind. I'm glad salvation comes to us who are wicked and sinful and selfish. I'm glad Jesus still saves old, dirty sinners. He found one on the side of the road begging. He found one up a tree. And that seems to be who Jesus seeks. And the glorious truth is, everyone that Jesus seeks, He finds. And all that He finds, He saves. And I think we need to quit counting professions and start counting commitments. Because if there is not a commitment to Jesus, the profession has been empty and superficial. Quit counting claims and start counting change. Amen? There's a cliche. I feel like Stephen Furtick now. I'll give you a cliche. Hallelujah. If I can get a t-shirt and some blue jeans with some holes in them and some tennis shoes, I'll feel more like it. Because the proof of our salvation is not in a claim, it's in a change. Have you changed? Has God entered your life and has He changed everything? Has your taste changed? Would you stand? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pause for just a moment. Peradventure, You're calling on one just now. I want to pause for just a moment, just in case the power of God has convicted the heart of a sinner here today, who may want to come and receive Christ, who came today looking for Jesus but found out that when they got here, Jesus was looking for them. Maybe there is a divine appointment for this place, this moment, with someone in this room. So God, I ask You to do the work that only God can do. And we pray that You would glorify Yourself in and through whatever You will do today, whether it's seen or unseen. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen.